You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This is Filippo Voltaggio, and this is indeed Life Changes. Today is a really special show because so much of what we think of ourselves and do day in and day out about our appearance or how we feel about ourselves or how we treat other people based on their appearance or how they're dressed or how they present themselves has a lot to do with what is presented to us through the image of models, and most specifically supermodels, whether they be male or female. We have one of the world's top models with us today who has gone through a major transformation of, well, life change after life change, because we're going to talk about from especially her book Initiate. She talks about going from one aspect of her life to another. However, in order to have that one aspect, she had to change. So there was change after change after change. And as she will probably tell us herself, she is still changing. She has not only been a top model, I'll tell you a little bit more in a little bit, but she has also been a host. And now she is a shaman. She's a teacher. She's a yoga instructor. She's so many beautiful and amazing things. Now, it's interesting that I use the word beautiful because so much of her image was based on her beauty. This weekend, interestingly enough, I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time, actually, with a young 16-year-old top ballerina in the world, actually. She is studying currently at the San Francisco School of Ballet. And I've known her, actually, since she was, I think, 8 or 9. And she's from Poland. And so she got accepted into this school and has been studying all summer in this program. Her uncle was there with me as we watched a couple of her classes and watched her do certain things. As she was spending time with us over lunch and dinner, she was talking about other people. And her uncle turns to me in private and said, Filippo, of all people, you could teach her not to act that way or to think that way about other people. You could help her not be that selfish or not be that egocentric or not be this or not be that. And I said to her uncle, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that just yet. And I said, give us some time together and let me think about this before I tell her how she should think. And it brought to mind Khalil Gibran and the Prophet, in which he says, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I did share with her how we don't know people's journeys. To say somebody's not a great dancer, after all, she's accepted into this program, she must be doing something right. Or so-and-so doesn't have a great body. Well, we don't know their journey. They might have been 400 pounds before they now have this ballerina body. Somebody else might have been a quadriplegic. I don't know if that's possible, but and now she can dance that well. In which case, that journey is an amazing journey, and we can't just say, oh, she can't dance. So I did share that with her. At the same time, though, and this is the question that I'm going to be posing to our guest, at the same time, there is a certain experience that she may come to have. And it's those feelings of herself that get her to that point. And when she gets there, she may become somebody else because of it. Just like our guest has done over and over and over again as she continues to transform to be the best she can. I'm going to end with this. I did see the Jersey Boys. And in there is a line when the Don, who is all-knowing in their community and wanting to help the Jersey Boys, when one of them tries to leave, the Don says to them, you don't know what you're doing. And the one of the Jersey Boys performers at that point says, quote, all due respect, Mr. DiCarlo, you sell 100 million records and see how you handle it. In other words, we don't know their journey. I didn't know this 16-year-old ballerina's journey. I didn't know, and I don't know our guest journey, but she shares with us and with all of you in such a beautiful way that as we come to learn her journey, we can better understand our own. When we come back, we're going to have Kristen Eichel as our guest in just a moment.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. Our guest is Kristen Eichel. She is a TV host, a hypnotherapist, a public speaker, and one who began her career as a jet set model living in Paris and traveling the world of beauty and high fashion. She was then initiated into the world of shamanism, yoga, and birth. Kristen illuminates her experiences and shares her wisdom as a map for any woman, actually anybody, who may find himself or herself walking their path to becoming an initiate. In fact, we're going to be talking about her book, Initiate, From Supermodel to Shaman to Awesome. Hi, Awesome. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Awesome. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Kristen Eichel is with us. And what would you say to a 16-year-old ballerina who's achieved so much already and is amazing and beautiful and sexy and all that?
Okay. As having been a 16-year-old model.
Right.
When your self-image is tied to your external public image, it gets really hard to discern fact from fiction. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's why so many young people have these discrepancies in their well-being. They become addicted to drugs or sex or alcohol or some fanciful notion of what it might be to be successful. Mm. Oh, well, if I'm successful, I have to be like this, or I have to date that kind of person. Or, and trust me, I'm the biggest cliche ever, as I write in the book. Because I also bought into that notion of this is what it takes in order to be staying on the pedestal that you've been placed. Whether you've earned the pedestal or it's been given to you, doesn't really matter. All you've got to do is fall off and it's going to hurt. Mm. The thing about being successful at a very young age as well, and when I was, let me back up. I left high school to start college because my whole dream, my whole life was to be a veterinarian. So I was going to go to college, but I had to pay for college myself. So I started modeling to pay for college. Mm. But at 19 years old, when I'm making as much money in a month as my parents made for a year, mm-hmm. do you think I'm going back to college?
And people are looking at you a certain way and treating you differently.
You
and...
have a certain expectation mm-hmm. for what you've got to do for your agency, for your clients, for all of right. that stuff that you've already built, this tidal wave of expectation in yourself and in others. The thing is, and this is what I see also a lot with young celebrity, because we see young celebrity in music or television or film or what
Everywhere,
have you.
Yep.
You start to think like, oh my God, I'm so awesome. In fact, I'm only going to get more awesomer. I'm only going to make more money. My next movie, my next album, my next project will be 20 times bigger than this. I've only got up. Okay, well, that doesn't really work. Mm. You might only have up for a little bit, but then inevitably we always get the breakdown. Always. The breakdown comes because your voice changes. The breakdown comes because you have a life change of some sort
your
that's
going to
put
changes.
You into it. Your body changes. Yeah. Your intellect changes. Something yeah. suddenly the community changes, and now what you look like is not the hip, cool, groovy thing anymore. You can be the best ballerina in the world and not make it. Has nothing
right.
to do with your skill.
Right.
It might have to do because you walk in the room and you remind me of my ex-wife and you are never getting that job.
Yeah.
And that's just all it is. It is oftentimes whim. So it doesn't matter on your merit or your talent necessarily. And you must, as the person who is the talent, have something deeper underneath it, or you will crumble when the red carpet gets pulled.
Mm. Thank you for it. I think that's great advice for everybody in any career.
Any profession.
And at any age. And so that's... very similar to what I shared with her when we did get some time, and that is to say that, you know, exactly that. You just be the best you can be, and because people are already telling you you're too fat, you're this, you don't have that. And I said, you, as long as you're having fun and you're enjoying it, whatever. And then when she started talking about drugs and all that, I'm like, how do you feel about that? I know your friends are doing it. Are you? I'm not. So those kinds of things. So to hold space for them and to share as much of our knowledge as we can. Ultimately, they have their own world and experience and journey. Would you have listened to anybody actually telling you otherwise at the time?
You know, it's a really good question. I actually feel that I learned from many of my parents' mistakes. My parents had a lot of volatility between them when I was a child. And so I learned, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm a particular temperament that I really do try to observe what goes on around me and make my own fresh mistakes, perhaps, but at least try not to replicate the ones around me. I would say that it's very difficult to know you're making a mistake at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know it. And we often spend a lot of time in guilt and retribution versus, oh God, I wish I would have taken a left instead of taking a right, or not sold that thing, or not done that thing, or not purchased that thing. You don't know at the moment. And I believe that if we can be in our own best moment,
right,
we will then have nothing to regret later, because we can only make the judgment call when we're standing there. And if someone right. offers you X and you say, okay, fine, and you are not in your prime sense of well-being,
right.
you may accept your lesser opportunity than holding out for your greater opportunity.
And that's such a good point, because had you not been in that moment, you wouldn't be who you are today.
Absolutely. Every single second of your life, from the moment that you are born to right now, sitting in this chair in this beautiful sound studio, you have made 1,000,000,000 choices every single day that have brought you into where you are now. Some of them awesome, some of them less than awesome, some of them hurt like hell. And some of them have been amazing. But all of them have given you that opportunity to be where you are now. You cannot take them away. You can't lament them. You can't suffer over. But for Pete's sake, stop suffering over what happened in fourth grade. All right? Can we please move on? You have to be
here. And
if
we accept them, it actually helps you be here, or
Precisely.
A better
Precisely.
Person here. It's like a tool.
Absolutely.
That
it absolutely
you have
is.
In your toolbox.
And then we can be blessed by those experiences instead of cursed by them. How many of us spend our time feeling like, oh, if only that wouldn't have happened, I would have been, you would have been what? You'd have been less than you are now. You are now. You can't be anything other than now.
Yeah. You know, I love that. Actually, we only seem to think of the good things that could have happened and would have
totally.
Happened if I had done that.
Right.
What about all the bad things that could have happened and would have happened had we done that? We don't really know. And this is the only thing we know, is that I get to have this moment with you
right now. And that's really true. I actually do believe, and this kind of comes into the other teachings that I do, that we actually do have very powerful circumstances that we are decided to have, if you will. I do believe that there is more than just this life. I do believe that there are a lot of other dimensions of experience that happen to us. And as a certified hypnotherapist for 20 some odd years, let's say, I've done a lot of work with alternate timelines. And what people have shown me and what I've learned through my clients is that you have agreements. that you come on this planet with. I'm going to come on with this circumstance and this limitation and this posse around me to help this experience occur. And therefore, you may not have the car accident, but you might have the truck accident.
Mm.
So you may have a certain system of something that needs to happen in order to act as a catalyst. It might be a certain relationship that's volatile in order to teach you how to stand up for yourself. It might be a certain circumstance that is challenging in order to show you where your truth and your faith lies. Mm. Whatever those things are. It's not to say that it's predetermined, but if you have kind of this pot of influence that is more likely to happen than not, given the choices that we make of the A and the B, you can choose the less powerful one and still get the lesson, or the more powerful one and get through it a whole lot quicker. And then you can have more opportunity for more lessons. That's just my personal belief, but that's what I've experienced with many of my clients.
I like it. And I'm getting like, there's a lesson here. Is it me, or is there a lesson that you're bringing?
Well, or is there always a lesson?
Or is there always a lesson?
And we are just like seeking lessons and meaning, because I think as humans, we're always like, does that mean something? Well, I don't know. Does it mean something to you? Because may or may not mean something to me.
We're going
to
get more lessons out of Kristen in just a moment. I just feel it. Like it's just going to pour out of you. And so much of it has been poured out in her book, Initiate, From Supermodel to Shaman to Awesome. To her, actually. So when we come back, we'll tell you how you can get the book. We'll be right back with Kristen Eichel on Life Changes with Filippo.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Talk about Filippo. Let's talk about Filippo. Talk about real people. We're talking to Kristen Eichel, who is part of a growing community of people that have come to a place in their lives where they were striving for this or striving for that, something that some people strive for all their life. And interestingly enough, whether they achieve it or not, ultimately, this seems to me where they actually want to be. You can learn more about that in her book, Initiate, From Supermodel to Shaman to Awesome, and you can get it at kristeneichel.com. Kristen is K-R-I-S-T-E-N Eichel, EYKEL.com. So, right? I mean, every day people want to be more beautiful. They wear makeup, they this, they that. They wear these clothes and all. They look at what is being worn. And now you wear, of course, you can wear anything and you look great. But you don't follow that. You're not striving for that. You just are. How does that transition happen?
You know, it's so funny. I used to kind of joke about this, of how I had to like get dressed to go out and what have you. I now am a mom who's in yoga pants and a ponytail like all the time. And I completely joke about that, but it's really true. I am now a yoga teacher. I am a mother of two children. I'm a very busy person. And so the last thing I want to spend time on is my hair, although I love me my hair. And I will always spend time on my hair because it's my giant vanity. But that being said, I have so many other priorities, and I really do believe that beauty really comes from the inside. And I swear to you, I've seen some phenomenally beautiful people, and there is no one home. or there is ugliness coming out of their pores. Has nothing to do with your bone structure. Has nothing to do with, oh my God, you look fabulous in fuchsia. Who cares? If you're a total nightmare inside, you are not beautiful. And beauty is that eminence that comes from within. That is the soul awake, alive, at home, and radiating outwards. You can see people who wouldn't geographically be concerned as necessarily being beautiful, and yet they are radiant. And the minute they walk in the room, all heads turn because your energy precedes you. So that is one of the things that I really work. I have a mentorship program, and I work with people to really help to develop themselves on this level of how do I become the most awesome possible 24/7 without excuse. You have to just be own how beautiful and how fabulous you are, no matter what you look like, no matter what you come from, no matter where you're doing your things, wherever you are in your society, you are awesome. And we make excuses for that. Well, I would be if I had the perfect nose, or I could be if only my husband, or if only my government or my religion. None of that matters, guys. Those are just places to inform you, to mirror you to yourself. And when you learn that aspect about yourself, you then hold that space and it precedes you. So your energy walks in the room ahead of you. So it's kind of like the trumpets and the fanfare of, oh my God, Filippo's walking in the room. But your energy comes before you. And if your energy is clean, clear, and beautiful, the pathway opens. Sorry, it does. And if your energy is all messed up and all attached to something weird, it's going to kind of like become that like brambly thicket in like Snow White, where it's just going to shut it down. So your energy opens up for you. And that's what your beauty holds for you.
So how do we share with people, especially coming from you, who put their hair in a ponytail and don't feel like they look pretty? Now, I mean, you're beautiful. Your hair in a ponytail or not, you know, you can wear anything. Some people who don't feel beautiful even when they're all dressed up and with makeup and all that, and then they just have their hair in a ponytail. How do you get that beauty from inside to be the priority and inspire them to know that they are beautiful on the outside because of it?
Well, we've had that expression, beauty is as beauty does. Okay, so we know that. So beauty is as beauty does. And you can be, again, as you said, dressed to the nines and be a mess.
Right.
And that really isn't the point. Or you can be completely in your yoga pants and a ponytail and still be beautiful. People can still stop and stare because they're not looking at you. You ever have people come up to you when you've had like a particularly awesome week or month or something really great has happened and you look exactly the same? People go, oh my God, you look amazing. What did you do? Did you change your hair? And you're like, no, all I did was change my energy. That's the thing. People think they're looking at you. They're not looking at you. They're reading your energy. They just don't have the words for it. We think the tangible physical body is the point. And it actually is sort of what we see ahead of that, around that. That being said, I work with people who have a variety of image issues with themselves and really not able to see themselves. But what that means is they're not able to see why they're beautiful. If you think it's your nose that makes you beautiful or your lovely teeth or what, okay, that's great. But all the dentistry in the world will not make your words beautiful, will not make your mouth speak beauty. And so when you own that your internal awesomeness, if you will, is what the only thing that you have control and power over, no matter how much money you spend on all this stuff, if you're cutting yourself up and sticking Botox and plastic in your body, you are hating yourself. You are self-mutilating. You are not self-loving. And I really like to think that my body is like a pet. I've been taking care of my pet for a very long time. I started young. I give her good cream. I dress her well. I treat her well. Most people treat their Yorkie better than they treat themselves. They look in the mirror and go, oh my God, my eyebrows. I mean, seriously, really? Oh my God, my eyebrows? No, you speak about yourself more poisonously than you would ever let your worst enemy speak about you, because that's boundary you're clear with. But this boundary of how you speak about yourself is very amorphous.
So if you don't like your eyebrows, what do you say?
Well, first of all, y'all got to be plucking them eyebrows if you don't like them eyebrows. But beyond that.
Oh, man.
But beyond, I'm not saying don't self-groom. I'm not saying be slovenly. But I am saying be loving and kind to yourself, because when you're loving and kind to yourself, you will automatically eat well, sleep well, exercise well, take good care, love well. You will let only people of beautiful influence into your sphere. You won't be having that slacker guy who smokes pot and picks his nose and stays on the sofa all day. That will not be in your life anymore, because you will love yourself enough to know that that surpasses the boundary of what's acceptable for you. And having really strong boundaries, it's, you know, good fences make great neighbors. I'm all about that. When your boundaries are clear, clean, and strong about who you are and what is acceptable for you, you will not make those disempowering choices. Sleeping with the wrong people, eating the wrong food, doing the nasty, low energy things for your well-being.
mistreating yourself, speaking badly to yourself,
absolutely,
about yourself,
or of the world around you. So if you look at people who are always gossiping and always like spewing noxious fumes from their beingness all the time, what is it saying about themselves? That's the thing. We don't realize that when we're spewing out all that stuff, that we're actually declaring who we are. I am a person who has angry thoughts, so I speak angrily. Mm. I'm a person who has sad thoughts, therefore I speak depressingly. We are who we say we are, and we say it, and we say it, and we say it. And so it really behooves us to listen to what the heck we're talking about. I have had the fortune of being tape recorded my whole life, so I get to really hear like, oh, I really said that.
Tape recorder,
oh my
videotape,
God. Everything.
On magazines.
So I've had to learn what the heck am I projecting?
Yeah.
What is my projection? And I really do believe I could be doing the American Express commercial. Doesn't matter what I'm saying. What are you projecting?
Mm.
And if you're projecting beauty and well-being in auric field, it will come through the radio. It will come through the TV. It will come through the internet. It will come through your written word. It'll come through you just standing there projecting. So choose what you're projecting. Don't be slovenly in your projection any more than you would be in your manner of dress.
I think this concept about projecting onto others, if somebody's not there, it's we're still projecting.
Absolutely.
And we're listening. So
absolutely,
this whole thing about, oh, looking at an image or looking at somebody on television saying, oh, they're beautiful. I'm not.
Do you think your cells don't hear that?
Right.
Do you think your cells don't hear you go, you are ugly?
Yeah.
You're not. You're really beautiful. But that's what we tell them. We tell ourselves they're insufficient. We tell our body it is lacking. We tell ourselves in a thousand ways how we are not measuring up to some imaginary yardstick in the sky that Vogue magazine or CBS
and
has
it
said.
Is imaginary because the images
it changes.
Are it changes and the images are changed. Those women don't actually exist anymore.
No. Or,
I mean,
God, no.
They don't exist.
Okay, look, I have been one of the most beautiful women in the world and I don't look like that. I don't look like that. Come on. People walk up to me all the time and go like, this is no, because we are used to seeing the image, the projection of it, the makeup, the lipstick, the hair. And I love that. It's so much fun. I have more shoes than I possibly could use. I don't even wear half my shoes, but it's because I save them. I'm a pack rapper. That's a whole other conversation. I don't
stay
waste
tuned
not,
for
want
that
not
mix.
For the conversation
we come
of,
back.
Of hoarding with Kristen Michael. Yeah, that's a different thing. We really do have to sort of hold ourselves accountable for what we're going to be projecting.
Yeah, I have to add in there the men, when they're getting ready to, you see those Men's Health or whatever, and you see these 6-packs, 8-packs, 12-packs, whatever going on and all that. They're doing muscle push-ups right there just before that picture snapped, and they're oiled and they're all bronzed up, and on the picture snapped, and then they let go of their gut. It's just, it's not, it doesn't exist either. If it exists, it exists for a second.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually think about that conversation of the perfect body, and especially for men, because young men who don't have husbands or wives,
yeah,
or children,
right,
or families or what have you, have a lot of time to spend at the gym. Okay. When you've got 3 kids and a mortgage and 3 cars in the driveway, you have less time to spend at the gym. And the reason that is important is because what you're spending your energy on is an outward appearance to fill an inner void. Perhaps, not 100%. I know lots of men who work out who've got happy families and whatever. I'm not saying that. But if your whole self-identity is got to look great for the opposite sex or great for that date you're going to go on, what are they going to look great for? If you're not great, we're going to see it in 2 seconds. I don't care how much oil on them abs. And I love oil on the abs. Trust me, that's beautiful and I'm all for it. But that's not the point. I'm not dating your abs. I'm dating your mind. I'm dating your heart. I'm dating your soul. Who is that person that I'm going out with? You can change the physical body. A lot of the other time of it too, you're working on making the muscles look good, but what is your endurance like? Can you keep up? Can you hold up? Are you going to be strong when the storm happens? Or are you going to collapse? Because a 6-pack ab does not mean that your heart and your soul is 6-pack worthy.
And you know, especially having lived this world at such a high level, that changes.
Oh my God, it totally changes. I've worked with some of the most beautiful men on this planet. Let me tell you what, beautiful, physically men who are also beautiful in their soul because they've done their personal work. They've done the healing work and they've still gone on with that. Even then, the hair gets gray. starts to thin, we start to get wrinkles, our skin changes, our texture changes, muscle definition changes. You never stay looking 26. I don't care how many hormones you take or how many supermodels you sleep with, your body's going to change. And if you're so attached to what you used to be or your identity of what you thought was something, you will not own how beautiful you are with the wrinkles and with the gray hair. Come on, it's awesome.
And what I want to get to when we come back is you actually can be more beautiful.
Profoundly so, because now the wisdom comes through the pores, not youthful naivete.
We'll be talking about that when we come back.
My
voice is getting lower. It's you. When we come back with Kristen Eichel right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic. And The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo, and one thing I know for sure is I get to be with Kristen Eichel right now.
Yay!
Yay! And if you want to be with Kristen Eichel, you can go to kristeneichel.com, and you'll be with her actually in many ways. You can actually just learn so much about her, but you could buy her DVDs, you could listen to her meditations, you can go to her classes, you can go and spend time with her personally, whether on, you do Skype, right?
And I do Skype interviews, and I work with clients basically all over the place with any sort of place where they are in their beingness. I really do believe that me is the healer, or me is, that's all make-believe. All I think we do is really hold the space for someone else's beingness, someone else's awesomeness. And so I've tried to use my years of experience of getting my own crap out of the way. So there's just enough of a presence to be there so that I can hear you and not say, well, I think you should, because what the heck do I know of your journey? As we were talking about before.
Yeah, we just came full circle with the 16-year-old.
It's so valuable and so present and so unique that I don't know your language. Yeah. I couldn't possibly know all of your history, but you do.
Yeah.
And if I tap you into that place of where you can access it, then you have power to remember why you're awesome. And then go, oh, got it. Okay. And then you can kind of continue on that path.
Well, actually, you just touched on something that I want to talk about before we come to the end of this beautiful time together. The book is Initiate, From Supermodel to Shaman to Awesome. So I'd like to talk about Shaman and then Awesome. So okay. How does one, all of a sudden, you're in that world and supermodel world, and then you say, oh, you know what? I've done that.
I decided I'm just going to go to the Amazon.
Now I'm going to be enlightened.
Well, as a model, as a very young model, I was, as I say, it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll in Paris in the 80s. It really was. And so it's very easy to get lost in all the image.
You
and
actually
all that
dated the rock and roll stars. And
anyway. No, I was going to say, I'm a total cliche. Absolutely. I like slept with that guy and went out with that place.
I lived with that one and traveled with that.
Like, you know, I did that. But it was richness and it was experience. And I'm blessed to have had this experience. I mean, I know some amazing, amazing people in my life who've helped to shape my journey. That being said, because I had this discrepancy of Kristen the image, and I called myself Kiki and Kristen. So Kiki was my personal life. Mm. Kristen was my professional life.
Interesting.
And I used to speak about myself in the third person a lot, because there was the image that I was selling. There was that sort of persona, and then there was who I was. And it was, I was very insecure.
Because people didn't know you.
No, gosh, no. They know the piece of meat. So I had to, that's when I began to learn yoga, because that became the way for me to really own my body. And that's when I decided, like, oh my God, my body is my responsibility. It's my pet. It's my vehicle. If I don't care for my vehicle, she's going to be limping when I'm 95. And I plan on being on this planet for a long time. So I don't want to have skin cancer, and I don't want to have ulcers, and I don't want to have some giant goiter on my neck. I really need to take care of this vehicle. So yoga became the way of me taking care of the vehicle, as well as tapping into my internal sense of well-being. When I came to New York in the early 90s, there was this sort of explosion of spiritual teachers and access to things from all over the world that suddenly I was in the nexus of. And I had the time and I had the energy and I had the inclination to go to every class, every workshop, every journey that I possibly could. And Native American shamanism, North and South American shamanism, was like a language that I'd always known but did not know the words to.
Interesting.
So I felt like coming home to me. Mm. I have Arkansas Cherokee on my mother's family side. So I've always had that sort of insight, but it never had the actual instruction. So my teachers, I was a student of Carlos Castaneda's work and kind of went into that sort of realm for many, many years and ended up going to Peru and doing medicine with the Indians in the Amazon and this type of thing and traveling all over the world, working with these different teachers and learning these different lineages and finding that there was so much similarity in this ancient earth medicine, if you will, whether you're Hawaiian or North African or South American, there's still this congruency in the magic and in the work. Mm. And so I began really practicing and studying it. And I've also been interested in what I could do that would be in our greatest and highest good without drugs and chemicals. Mm. Okay. So that's why hypnotherapy and Reiki and theta healing and all these other things came into my practice. Studied massage. I studied everything you can possibly imagine. Aromatherapy. So that all became part of that. So the initiation into shamanism was really, I felt, an honoring and a connection to that lineage of all the ancient teachers that have been before me, all the grandmothers and the grandfathers back many, many generations who've walked within me. And what I find a lot, too, with healers on this planet right now, many, many times they're afraid to kind of be outed. They don't want people to know that they have sensitivities, that they have understandings, that they have healing abilities, because they're afraid they'll be made fun of. Actually, you're not afraid you're going to be made fun of. What you're really afraid of is you're going to be killed. It hasn't been safe on this planet for many generations to be that healer, to be that shaman, to be recognized in that way, because you would be subverted in some way or killed or tortured or burned on the stake or what have you. So many, many people have those experiences, those sort of fears sublimated that they're going to be ridiculed or in some way damaged if they come out. Well, I'm all about being out and being truthful and being honest. So that's why I just sort of say that's what it is. And I give a name to it. The shaman is the person who straddles the world between the physical and the non-physical. Mm. So when I can be in that space with you and I can kind of get this information that comes from the non-physical world and share it and have space with you in that, you then have access to something that you may have felt but not known. And that's why I use that word very specifically, because it is an honoring place. Also, the shaman was the person who was, that was a particular job description. You as the shaman were nurtured by your community. You were brought chickens, right, or you were brought food, and you offered healing. we did it a different way in the old days than we do it now, mm-hmm. but there still is that space of but holding that center for the community.
You wouldn't mind chickens. And
oh my God, I have chickens. I love chickens. Okay, some of my yoga clients, actually, I have this one yoga client. She cooks and she brings me food all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, I love that she made me lunch. I actually posted on Facebook like a picture of this food that she brought me because I feel that it's very nourishing. Yeah. She's nourishing me in a way that I'm nourishing her. And I love
that.
And
if she was thinking about you while she was cooking.
I mean, I'll take the $1,000 too, but I'm happy with the chicken and the eggs as well.
So the book, and here's, you know, speaking about specific words, you specifically use supermodel, which obviously the world of the outside world and all of that. And then you use shaman, and then you use the word awesome. So one would think, well, being a supermodel is awesome. How do you put it on the other side of the spectrum from supermodel to shaman to awesome? So what does that mean when it's placed there?
So awesome is a state for me. The reason I use that term, awesome is a state of beingness. How do you feel? Oh my God, I feel awesome. Because it's a state of feeling, like you feel like on top of the world. You ever had that moment where you open your arms, you open your heart, and the sun shines down? You're like, oh my God, that's awesome. Mm. That's it. It's a feeling state. So being a supermodel any more than being a truck driver is a job description. It's not an experiential, I feel like a supermodel today. That's great. What does that mean? Mm. I feel like I can take on the world. I can be whatever. So it's a certain state that you have to carry. And quite honestly, it is also about the ego. We were talking about the ego before. Having a very healthy, balanced ego is really important. My teacher, Yogi Bhajan, who is the head of Kundalini Yoga, if you will, mm-hmm. who brought Kundalini Yoga to the West, he would say, nobody's got a bigger ego than me. You have to have an enormous ego to get up every single day and hold as much energy as you need to in order to change your world and have it be awesome.
And interestingly enough, we look at a supermodel and think that she has ego.
Usually it's quite fragile because that ego is undermined by like, wow, when did you need to get liposuction? Mm. Wow, look at your whatever. Mm-hmm. As a model, you're so used to being torn apart for what your flaws are, your perceived flaws. Let's be quite honest here. But they're all very superficial. It's not like, wow, look at your mental acuity. Like nobody compliments you on how smart you are. They compliment you on your waist size. And so that's a totally random thing in order to base an ego on, because let's face it, you can be hit by a truck tomorrow. Who you are inside is still going to be there whether you have the perfect face or not.
So the ego in the awesome space that you're talking about, that's a healthy ego.
It's absolutely a healthy ego. It's a space of being in your integrity. If you feel awesome, will you speak poorly of other people? Mm. Will you seek to undermine circumstances? Will you seek to have yourself win at all costs? Or will you seek to confirm the community that you are a part of, knowing that as one wins, everyone wins? And on that note.
Well, you don't need to say anymore, but I'd like for you to, actually. So what can people, because you do so much in the last couple of minutes that we have remaining, what could people, when they go to kristeneichel.com and connect with you, what can they look forward to experiencing besides potentially if they're interested in yoga, they could read your book and in birthing and all and all.
Well,
that.
That's the other part that I was going to say is something that has been very powerful and influential for me was the birth of my children. My son, because he was first, but then also subsequently my daughter. And I became a birth doula, and I'm a pregnancy yoga expert and specialist for labor because I really do believe it is a shamanic initiation to pass another human being through your body onto this planet. So far, we can't do it without mothers. We have everybody on this planet has come through the body of a woman. And it has come onto this plane. So I look at the physical body as being a doorway. So the doorway can be cluttered and full of junk and old Christmas ornaments, or you can clean it all out. And you can have a really clear, bright, shining, giant doorway to let this giant soul of the highest caliber come through your body. So you can be full of excuses, full of toxins, full of poison in your body, mind, and spirit, and have still a great child. Or you can actually open that up and have a magnificent child. Because who you are as a parent will directly influence your family, families of influence, and the families that your children will then go on to have. So the more clean, clear, strong, and powerful you can be in your pregnancy and labor, you're going to change that family dynamic.
And then after.
and then after for sure. You're going to then be a more empowered mother. I work with mothers all the time saying that you have this 9-month period to practice getting ready for being that other aspect of your mother. So your fears, your irrational weirdness and worries, all that stress and anxiety, all that crazy woman thing that happens is an opportunity to bring it to the surface, to bless, heal, cleanse, release it, let it go so that it's no longer in the way. You can clean up genetic history, lineage stuff, that karma that your kid does not have to carry for you. How many children have decided, I decided to kind of become my mother's mother because I didn't feel like she was powerful enough, and now I'm sort of holding. So many times kids make up for their parents' perceived lack of something that they then go off. So what if they didn't have to do that? What if they didn't have to clear your baggage and your karma for you? What if they can just deal with their own? So as a parent, I believe it, we really owe it to our children as a gift of love to get our own crap out of the way, to be the most empowered beingness that we can be for them.
Well, interestingly, and then for those of us who didn't have mothers like that, then you work with the adult in clearing
that. Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, I work with mothers, too, who've had birth trauma 20 years ago. That still lingers. Sometimes we have trauma in the actual labor as the mother. Sometimes we have the trauma as the baby being born. But we really do. It is a seminal moment. There are two giant bookends on our life. One is birth. One is death. Very dear friends of mine are death walkers, and they help people to pass this plane. I become, as the birth doula, to help people come onto this plane. Because I really do believe that those two doorways are powerful doorways to keep open. We're going to have this experience in between. But those are the, you know, pretty big places to come and leave.
And that's a pretty big experience in between we're having.
It certainly is. So we need all those great teachers for a variety of reasons. You may have a teacher in your 20s that is not appropriate for you to have in your 40s. As the student is ready, the teacher appears, right? So you have different teachers that come in. It's kind of like you read the same book 20 years later and go, oh, my, I totally did not even see that whole chapter on something that just lands for you so powerfully now. So it is a good idea to kind of get into the jet stream of consciousness. As you evolve, you'll pick up new tricks, new trades, new ideas all the time. And keep evolving. Keep evolving. Never become stagnant. You will start to smell.
Lovely. Thank you for that. Can I quote you on
that? That pond, that murky image we have.
I was going to bring it to a close, but not on that. Actually, I was going to ask you, what is next for you?
Well, I really do. My genuine belief and my genuine hope is that I am here on this planet for a reason. I was born the way I look. I've cultivated a particular attitude and perspective that I don't think that was just me. I think I really do have something that I was born with, that I am here. I do believe I have a mission on this planet, and my mission on this planet is truly to touch millions. I really want to ignite the fire of millions on this planet, whether you live in Zimbabwe or you live in San Francisco or you live in the Maldives. I happen to love the Maldives. Wherever you are, there are millions and millions and millions of souls waiting to be ignited, and there's a thousand gajillion wonderful teachers. I hope to hold some measure of light to add to the other amazing teachers on this planet to help uplift the energy for us all.
Well,
that's all. And also, like, bake great cupcakes for my kids and, like, have birthday parties and, like, do fun stuff with my kids. I know, right? And teach great yoga.
That's awesome. You know, I'm not a mother. I never will be.
You're
one.
Not, really? No. And you have no uterus to speak
not
of.
My thing to have experience in this lifetime. I have great respect for all that you shared, that process that makes me feel that the more we understand and honor that, the more we all gain from that.
Well, we do. And mothers are the ones who raise the sons. Okay. So I think mothers have a particular responsibility. If you don't like the men in your world around you, then you better raise some really crackerjack sons. Okay. Because they're going to learn from their mamas. Where do you get respect from? Where do you get your honor from for yourself and for the dignity of others? We do need the divine male and the divine female counterparts on this planet. We need both. And women are the Shakti of the family. She's the heart and soul of the family. And even if you have a dad who's now practicing mothering and fathering, some dads do both. You need to really keep that balance in the male-female children.
Well, there it is.
And
scene. This has been really so much fun.
It was like 2 seconds.
Yeah, actually, yeah. And you know what? Life is that.
Yeah.
When you're having fun.
Yep.
And so let's continue enjoying those 2 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
Until we go
until
and
we
do
cross
something
the next
else.
Pathway in this threshold.
Do you think on the other side we come through another mother?
You know, it's a good question, actually. I do believe sort of that whole idea of like, well, when people have the near-death experience and they're sort of traveling through the tunnel and they see the light at the other end, like, oh, there's the birth canal. There's the light at the other end. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, this has been a birthing of sorts. I trust that people will get to and will listen to this over and over again because there's so much wonderful information. And it's not just the learning of it, but the taking it within.
Exactly.
So Kristen Eichel and her book, Initiate, From Supermodel to Shaman to Awesome, to Awesomer.
To awesomer-ishness, yes.
We'll be right back with yet another awesome person, Mark Leger, during our producer drop when we come back. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Well, this is Filippo, and we're sitting here in Studio NoHo in North Hollywood, where so many stars go through, and we just had another bright one in so many respects of the word.
So many respects. Bright, I think, doesn't even begin to describe who Kristen is, but we heard so much of that today. I think the one thing that I wanted to really start on is... what probably isn't talked about enough, and that's that word awesome. And I'm glad she went into the feelingness of it and kind of more the energy behind that word. But I started thinking about how little you hear people say truly from an authentic place, like you just heard a couple of times or a few times during an interview, I'm awesome. Because it's so often, if not most of the times, followed by some sort of disclaimer. Some sort of need to be humble or self-deprecating or something. You know, there isn't enough authenticity or courage to be authentic in the use of the word awesome or amazing or while I was reflecting on that, I was starting to hear how many people say, you know, that glancing hello. How are you?
Yeah, how are you?
And not often is that word awesome used with truth.
I bet it would stop a lot of people as opposed to,
especially if it came out in that energy. Awesome. Not like, oh, yeah, I'm awesome. And then you go back into the kind of the normal discussion of, oh, well, this and that. But to truly own that awesomeness and be in that place of not needing to disclaim or describe or diminish or whatever.
You know, besides being here and what we're doing here and what we're thinking about, billions of cells in each of our bodies are harmoniously going around, moving blood around and moving oxygen around, moving waste around and growing and all that stuff's going on and heart's beating and I'm breathing and I don't even think about it and I get to do all this. That in itself is pretty awesome.
Well, not only is that awesome, but, you know, and then you start taking me down the road that, you know, I love to go into science, but the fact that each one of those cells, and this, by the way, is a callback to something that Krista was saying earlier about speaking to yourselves and your cells here, your relationship to yourself and your body. But the more that we've learned, we truly are a hollow, fractographic, you know, universe. And when, in simple terms, the smallest parts of us, the cells, do just as much as our whole being. They're learning now that the way the cells relate to each other, the way they perceive distance, the relationship, the way they communicate, the way they breathe, there's you know, all of the systems that we consider normal to being human can actually be recognized in a certain manner within the smallest cells.
Yeah.
So then you start looking at, you know, some of the other science that's out there, like our friend Nassim Haramein and exactly. some of the work that he's been doing and many others. But looking at
HeartMath, Greg Braden,
so many of these people, but they're pointing at the correlations between the smaller all the way to the larger, you know, the energy patterns of and growth of flowers versus the same shapes in the galaxies. And so really looking at the intricacies of awesomeness.
You know, I said to, well, I actually learned from Dr. DeMartini one day when he said to me, when you see something that reminds you of something that you wish you were, say thank you to that person and bless them in a sense. I don't remember his exact words, but for showing you or reminding you what you could do or what humans could do or what our greater potential is. And so I may not ever be that, but it reminds me of an aspect of myself where I can be at that level or potentially experience a level of that. So I said to Kristen, I never was a mother or never will be a mother or whatever. That's not what I came to be. But for someone who's to be able to sit there and say, thank you for showing me a mother who is doing it this way. Thank you for showing I'll never be a supermodel. Or I never was. Who knows? Maybe I'll be a supermodel.
Still plenty of time.
There's still got 90 more years or
like
whatever.
Kristen said everything changes, so maybe the parameters.
We'll have 90-year-old supermodels, exactly. Who knows? But, to say thank you for showing me a supermodel and this kind of awesomeness that comes from within. So I just sat there saying, thank you, gratitude. This is awesome.
Well, you just hit on the real crux of it, and that's thank you and gratitude. And I think for me, that's what I was hearing Kristen say in some of her journey, is really getting to a place of being grateful exactly where she was at those moments of awakening in her total being. And that's the one thing I think we do most often is take things for granted, take breathing for granted, take walking for granted, take crying for granted, take laughing for granted, you know, just the whole idea of living. And we place too much emphasis on one or the other rather than just sitting back even for a moment and recognizing the awesomeness of all of that.
You know, this actually spending time with this Shimchik this weekend at her ballet class, she was so grateful that I came and spent hours watching her do her class and to be there to represent her family who's in Poland, who's not there. So I was the one that was grateful to her for showing me something that I'll never do and I'll never experience and showing me how much work goes into it and her dedication and all of that. And I was being grateful for that moment. And here we come full circle in the sense that she is having an experience like I'll never have. I've always been an inquisitive person, so I got to ask questions. So what's it like? What did this mean? And how did you do this? And how did you learn to do that? And when did you know you wanted to do that? And it kind of brings us to this show. Because that's me asking Kristen, and what about this and what about that? I'll never be that. And for all of those listening, so I get to have friends who were supermodels or who are ballerinas or who are opera singers. However, there are people that do things that I don't get to do, that I don't know. So for people who don't have that, they have us because we're sharing it.
They have us, but I think they also have in us and in this discussion the ability to hear just and maybe see just how awesome their reality is, and that's the thing. Again, we on this show because of the discussion, we sometimes not judge, but evaluate or bring to light amazing things that are happening. Mm. And yet in someone's world, in their reality, something that's seemingly not so amazing on a grand scale may be just as amazing in their moment, in their world. So,
yes.
And I think that's what Life Changes is really about.
It is. And may you all be reminded of your awesomeness I am Filippo Voltaggio saying thank you for being awesome. And we'll be, and as your life changes, I forgot what I was saying because I just went to awesome and I'm like, awesome! As life changes, we're here for you. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.